I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This theme, I guess you could call it, came to my mind this last week, or the thought about the wonder of being a son or daughter of God. What great opportunity. Opportunity doesn't even express the feeling I have about this idea of being a son of God. And I knew that I was supposed to read scriptures about it. That's what I know so far. But when this morning, when we had the baptism, and those words were expressed by our brother Dan, I was confirmed to that. Then when our brother Alvin preached, he preached some of the scriptures that I'll read today. Anyway, so I'll go ahead. Sons and daughters of God. How do we become the sons and daughters of God? Believe in God. In Matthew chapter 9, it tells the account of a woman who came to Christ for healing. And it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour. That woman believed in Jesus Christ. She believed so much that she, I'm going to use the term knew, but she believed, I shouldn't, she believed, she had so much faith that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. I think of that kind of faith. I think how wonderful that is. And faith is a gift of God. And we should pray for it. But to be a son or a daughter of God requires faith, to believe in God. In Ether chapter 1, verse 77, it says, "Behold," and this is Jesus Christ speaking, "Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally. Even they which shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters." And here once again is that requirement of believing in Jesus Christ. To be a son or daughter of his, we must believe in him. And to believe in him, we must know his word. We must feast upon it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I'm thinking right now, I don't remember if it's where it is, if it's in Mosiah 1 or Alma 3, anyway, where it talks about believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things. That's part of believing in Jesus Christ, believing that he is our creator, that he created this world, that he created us, and that he has a purpose for each of us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When I read the Word of God, when I read the Bible or Book of Mormon, I feel life. I feel alive more than any other time. I feel joy and purpose and meaning. I feel life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When we read his word, and when we study it, and when we're in trials and tribulations, that darkness that's in the world, and we read his word, or we draw near to him, that light shines on the darkness. Things become more clear. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, through Jesus Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I think of all the prophecies of his coming that he fulfilled, prophecies to his people, the house of Israel. And they knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So those that read the word and believed it and recognized him as the Son of God, even to them gave he power to become sons of God. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Says something very similar in the Book of Mormon, in the third book of Nephi, chapter 4. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. Another step to becoming sons and daughters of God is to be baptized with his Spirit, with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know we do that first. Well, we're going to read about that. So, in Mosiah chapter 11, it says in verse 185, and it came to pass after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and two nights. Let me give you a little background to this scripture. This was when Alma, the son of Alma, who had rebelled against his father, rebelled against the church, persecuted the church with the sons of Mosiah. He was stopped by an angel. And this is his account. And it came to pass after they and his father and those who he were with him fasted and prayed, that he knew that it was God who had given them him this experience, where he was left as if dead, but not dead. And he knew that it was for the purpose that his son might be woke up from his incredulous state. And so, and it came to pass after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and two nights, the limbs of Alma received their strength, and he stood up and he began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For, said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit, born of God. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness. And our brother Alvin started out his sermon this morning. What is our goal? He told us to be brought back into the presence of God. And this is part of that, being brought back into the presence of God, being born of God, being born of his Spirit, and changed from our carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness. And our brother Alvin talked about that, that's not something we can earn our way into, but it's by the grace of God, it's by the merits of one Jesus Christ, who was perfect and offered himself up as a pure sacrifice for us. And God raised him up. Raised him up. And so, with this being born of God, we are raised up if we are willing. I loved the sermon this morning that focused in on our choices, because we choose the carnal state or the state of righteousness each day. We choose whether to start out our day pleading, thanking God, first of all, for his goodness and his great power, and for asking for forgiveness of our sins, and asking that the will of God be done in our life. If we started out that way, then that helps start our day off in that righteous state, allowing God to be the guide of our lives, allowing that Spirit that we've been baptized with to function in our lives. So verse 188, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And this scripture is found in Mosiah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And this is King Benjamin, after he'd given that I'm calling it a dying day speech, my words. He wanted to make sure that his garments were pure before his God, before his last day, that he'd spoken to his people everything he knew. It says he built a tower so that all could hear, because you couldn't hear so many people. People came and sat with their families to hear the last words of King Benjamin. And after he'd expressed so beautifully the gospel of Christ, he says these words, "And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people, if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord God, of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us." Or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. No longer this depressing view of the future and of my trials and this and that, but great views of that which is to come, a hope in their lives. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King hath spoken unto us and hath brought us to this great knowledge whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, "Ye have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters." That covenant was spoke of this morning and witnessed to by our brother Dylan as he walked into the waters of baptism. He was witnessing that he's willing to serve Christ to the end. He wants to be a son of God. And how great is the goodness of God that he fulfills that promise by giving us the gift of the Holy Ghost, what we most desire and pray for, that comforter, that guide, that change of heart. This witness of this covenant, or this explanation of this covenant, is found in Alma 5, verse 24. "Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness." He is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Often people don't make that covenant, and they don't enter into the waters of baptism because they don't think they can change. But it's His power that changes us. It's His Spirit that cleanses us. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you. Everyone that comes to the waters of baptism comes with temptations that cause them to easily sin. But when we come and we lay those aside, not to pick them up again. And that spirit that God baptizes us with helps us to do that, to lay it aside and keep it aside. And he is mighty to save, keep us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not. Fear not. And lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that you are willing to repent of all of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments, and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And we witness that today. And whoso doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God, there's the next step, and keepeth the commandments of God. So we witness that we're going to do it. But with the power of his Spirit, then we take that next step and do it and trust in him and start out our days praying and reading the word of God and drawing near to him so that we'll be able to keep his commandment the rest of that day. And then the next day, come before him, draw near to him in prayer and reading his word so that we might have strength to get through that day keeping his commandments. I don't like the way I phrased that. To have the opportunity that day to keep his commandments. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. And I need to stop a minute and say, if you haven't been drawing near to him, and you haven't been keeping his commandments, today's a good day. Today's a good day to start. What great love our God has that he offers us a new day. Start right now and ask him to forgive you. Now that we're talking about praying to God, so I won't embarrass them. One of my children came to me and said, Dad, I want to study about how we're supposed to pray. And so I said, I can't do it tonight. I've got to finish this in the next hour. How about in the morning? Okay. How about we get up at 5:30, they said. So we got up at 5:30 the next morning and we began to read the Lord's Prayer, how Christ instructs us the manner in which we should pray. And I learned so much about prayer because she wanted to learn about it. And I stopped and thought about it as we read through and talked about it. And so anyway, part of that prayer is asking for forgiveness. We're supposed to pray that, which tells me that we probably fail the Lord quite a bit. And so we need to pray that often, that he'll forgive us as we forgive others. And notice that commandment is combined, not commandment, the way he teaches us to pray, it's combined that we as we forgive others. It tells me that that's probably difficult for us sometimes to forgive others. But I praise God that he is so good that he, when we mess up our covenant, when we do wrong, he's so willing to forgive us and put us right back there where we should be, keeping his commandments. He will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life. The one who's made that covenant and who then keeps the commandments of God, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. How precious it is to be a son or daughter of the living God. Ooh, I don't like that. Big G, think big G there. because he deserves our respect, and he deserves our respect with a big G. I knew that I was going to mess up somewhere in this PowerPoint. But he is a big God, and he's a living God. And how precious it is to be his son or to be his daughter. How precious it is. And this scripture really brings that out for me. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. So when we do these things, when we believe in God and we're baptized in water and with the Holy Ghost, and we keep the commandments of God because the Holy Ghost is functioning in us, the world doesn't know us. We're strangers. We're different because we're not acting according to the flesh. We're not in that carnal state. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's how we get in the presence of God. By allowing the functioning of the Holy Ghost to live in us, by studying the Word of God so we know who Jesus Christ was and is, so that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We make those steps. We desire that hope. We have that hope to be like him. And therefore, we purify ourselves. Of course, it's God who does the purifying, but it's us that makes the first step that our brother Alvin was talking about today. It's us that decides, that chooses. What should we do to retain our inheritance as sons and daughters of God? Keep the commandments of God we read earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Our brother read this morning. And ye are the temples of the living God, that Holy Ghost. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, the unbelievers, the infidels. This is not saying don't witness. This is saying don't take part in the activities that Christ wouldn't take part in. Don't be equally yoked with him. Don't be named among them. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Mosiah chapter 8. I love this. I love Abinadi. What he was willing to sacrifice to serve the Lord. He was a man who gave himself to God. And you know, you think of what he did, and you think he preached to a bunch of unbelievers. What was the purpose? Alma. Alma was the purpose. Alma, and then all the believers that went out into the wilderness with Alma. And the church began because Abinadi was willing to draw so near to God that he was used and he was obedient to God's commandments and to the very end. And he spoke to them from Isaiah. And he spoke about the sons and daughters of God. He said, and now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation, speaking of Christ? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, Christ offering himself up as that great last sacrifice, an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, his children, his sons and his daughters, you and I. He shall see us. And now what say ye? And who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you that whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, whosoever has believed the word of God that's been declared, has believed so much that they desired to be obedient and to baptism and to keeping the commandments of God. Behold, I say unto you, whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord. And I say unto you that those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people and would look forward to that day for a remission of their sins. Abinadi was before Christ came. And so that's why they're looking forward to that day. I say unto you that these are his seed, and they are heirs of the kingdom of God. What a promise. That is the reward. That's the goal, being an heir of the kingdom of God, coming back into his presence. And it said, those who have hearkened unto the words of the prophets and believed them. Verse 44, for these are they whose sins he hath borne, these are they for whom he hath died, to redeem them from their transgressions. And now, are they not his seed? Yea, and are not the prophets, every one that has opened his mouth to prophesy, that has not fallen into transgression? I mean all the holy prophets, ever since the world began. I say unto you that they are his seed, and these are they which hath published peace. You remember that in Isaiah when it talks about how, it talks about it right here, how beautiful upon the mountains are them that are they that are the feet of they that publish peace. And it's those who've prophesied, and it's those who've believed the word of Christ and gone out and declared it to others. It's you and I if we're willing to be used. I love this scripture here. I say unto you that they are his seed, and these are they which have published peace, that have brought good tidings of good. That's telling people about Christ, telling people about his love and about his power and about his spirit that will dwell in us. If we're willing to make a covenant with him, not telling it only, but living it in our choices. In our choices each day. Verse 48. Oh, no, I didn't. I don't think I finished that. That have brought good tidings of good, that have published salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And oh, how beautiful upon the mountains were their feet, the prophets that have gone before us. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace, yea, from this time henceforth and forever. You and I. And this is my favorite. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all, for oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace, Jesus Christ. Yea, even the Lord, who hath redeemed his people, yea, him who hath granted salvation unto his people. And we have the opportunity to be his sons and daughters and to publish peace and to be those beautiful feet. And were it not for the redemption which he hath made for his people, which was prepared from the foundation of the world, I say unto you, were it not for this, that all mankind must have perished. We only have hope in him. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've been delivered from fear. Let's not be bound down again with it. Fear of doing what he guides us to do. Fear of those around us who, when we are obedient to God, persecute us. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, adoption. He's adopted us to be his children. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. reminds me once again of Abinadi, who was willing to suffer. He didn't suffer in fear. He suffered, but not in fear, in conviction of service to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is obviously not the fear of men. This is the fear of God. And trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Submit your will to the will of God. Rather than doing what you want to do, rather than me doing what I want to do, submit ourselves to the will of God. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That was said at some other point today. I can't remember. But that being the beautiful feet once again, being lights in this world, declaring Christ. And may we do this according to his will and by his power.